Please take your Bibles on and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Again, we want to welcome our visitors in the audience. We're so happy that you're with us. We, those of you that are just traveling through, we hope you have a safe journey to your back to your home, but we're glad you've taken the time to be with us this morning. And as is said in the announcements, if you have any questions concerning anything you've heard or seen, we'll be more than happy to entertain those questions to have a better understanding of God's will. When Jesus was upon the earth, he spent a great deal of time in 3-year period in preparing his disciples for the work that he wanted them to carry on after his departure to go back to the Father. And during this time, he did a lot of teaching, public teaching. And one of the most favorite ways of Jesus to teach was the means of a parable. And this morning we want to talk about one of those parables that's very important to us who are members of the body of Christ. We want to talk this morning about laborers in the vineyard. And we'd ask that you take your Bible, and we're going to read the text. It is in chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And in this context, Jesus used many commonplace things that people could understand, which were of a physical nature, to teach a spiritual truth. And so we want to examine the spiritual truth contained in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. We begin reading in verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in the vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went again. And again he went out in the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And now it was about the 11th hour, and he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, why have you been standing idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard sent to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came and were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. If I wish to give this last man the same as to you, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now it is said that in this parable, that so many of them, people, have used this parable to teach a lesson that Jesus never intended to be taught. He's not encouraging people to wait till the 11th hour to obey the gospel. That's not what he's talking about. There's a much different text than talking about when a man or when a woman would obey the gospel. He's not encouraging people that it doesn't matter, you can wait till the 11th hour. Now, I've had situations where people waited till the 11th hour, and thankful to them, they did something before the 12th hour of their life ended. But again, that's not the meaning of this text. This text is about working in the vineyard. And this is a spiritual lesson that has to do with our responsibility in the vineyard of the Lord, in His church, in His field. We are His laborers. And as a laborer, we have responsibilities that the landowner has given us in order that we might accomplish His work. Now, I want you to notice four things about this parable. Number one, the householder went out to hire laborers. He offered incentive to get men to work in his vineyard. He offered them a denarius a day. That was equivalent to a day's pay. They were given the offer of a day's work for a day's wages. And so they were hired with an incentive in order to work in his vineyard. He did not try to scare them into his vineyard. And he did not try to force men into the vineyard. He only wanted volunteers. He agreed to give them a decent wage if they worked hard in his vineyard. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's make a spiritual application because this is what this parable is about. Jesus is not going, he is going to offer us an incentive. There is an incentive to serving God. And what the incentive is, that he's promised the faithful that in the end, he will give us a home in heaven. Now, we're not working in order to obtain the reward. We're working in order to demonstrate our love for God in order that we might obtain the crown. In other words, we don't deserve the crown. And all the work that you could do in his vineyard would not make God obligated to give you that crown. Because we can't do anything of ourselves that make us worthy recipients of the blessings of God. But God has given us incentive. He has given us incentive in that he's blessed our lives to this present moment of time. The reason that you are here today is because God allows you to live and breathe in his world. The reason you have the things that you have in your life that bring you joy and happiness is because God has blessed your life. Those are incentives that God gives to every Christian who understands James 1 verse 17. What does James 1 verse 17 say? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, who there's no variedness or shadow of turning. Every good thing you have in your life is because of the God of heaven. If we understand that, then he gives us the incentive in order for all that he's given us, that we might give back to him the work that he put us here to do. He does not try to scare men into his vineyard. You know, sometimes when you talk about hell, or you talk about judgment, or you talk about death, people sometimes say, well, you're a preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what the facts are. There is going to be a judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether they be good or bad. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you reality that we're all going to face judgment. We're all going to die. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after death cometh to judgment. And so those things are sure. Those things are things that every one of us in this audience are going to face one day. We're going to die, and we're going to face the Lord in judgment. And the other thing, that the hell is a real place. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place of outer darkness. It's a place where you're eternally separated from God. That's not trying to scare you. That's just telling you reality. That's what the Bible says about that place. It's a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And so again, those are facts. We don't try to intimidate people, and we're not trying to scare you to obedience. We're just trying to provoke your thinking to understand that there is a day of reckoning. We're not going to force men into the vineyard. He didn't go out there with a rope and a whip and try to force them to work in his vineyard, and God's not going to do that either. He's not going to hog tie you. He hasn't told me to use intimidating methods. He hasn't told me to threaten you. I can't do any of those things. Why? Because it has to be free will. You know what the Lord wants? He wants volunteers. He wants people that free willing obedience to his will. People who do it out of their own free will and their own free choice. And if we do that, God has promised us that he will give us what's fair, what is just, and what is honorable when our work is over. God has promised that. In Matthew 11, sometimes referred to as the Great Invitation, it says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What God has asked of us is very much not overwhelming. What we gain in return for what God has required of us is very much one-sided. And it's one-sided on our part, because we're going to receive much more than we give. You see, we need to learn of God, and we need to cast our care upon Him, and we will find rest for our souls. Those outside of Christ will find no rest. That's what the Scripture says. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city of life. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Again, obedience is a requirement. If you're going to be in this vineyard, you're going to have to be obedient. You're going to have to be obedient to the commands of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, He said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven." It's not just important doing something. You must do what's according to God's will. You must live within the parameters of doing God's will. Let me use a physical illustration of the vineyard. If this man hired other laborers to work in his vineyard, would he pay them if they went and worked in the neighbor's vineyard? If they went down there and they worked just as hard for just as long, they were just as productive, but they did it in another's vineyard, would he pay them because they worked in that other man's vineyard when they did not work in his vineyard? You know the answer to that. He hired them to work in His vineyard. We're here to do God's business. We're here to do His will. And if we want to gain the benefit, then we're going to have to remain in the parameters of doing God's will. And you know what? He went out to hire laborers, and He did not want loafers or shirkers. "I must work the work of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." You notice? You're not going, you know, there's a main real misunderstanding among the people of God that as long as I attend 3 days a week, take of the Lord's Supper, and I give Him my means on the first day, that I've made done all the requirements, and that my home in heaven is a locked deal. Brethren, there could never be anything farther than the truth. The truth of the matter is, Christianity does not end and begin here in this assembly. Christianity is an occupation that is a 24/7, 365 day a year job that has no retirement plan. And it's something that we have to be active in. It's something that we do. It's not something that we just show up. We need to be active in doing the Lord's will. Our opportunity to work will soon be gone. And it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after the death comes the judgment. We're going to die. We only have a limited time to work in God's vineyard. How much time? I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when the Lord will come, and neither do you. You have a limited time of opportunity to do work in the Lord's vineyard. And all of us have the same opportunity while we live. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, life is like a tea kettle. You put a tea kettle on the stove and watch the steam come out to let you know the water is hot. Now you take that kettle and you take it away from the stove and you watch the vapor disappear very quickly. That's your life. That's my life. Now you say, well, wait a minute. You know, if I live to be 100 years, that's a long time. Yes, that's a long time. Sister Pixon, Lorraine Pixon, is 102 years old. That's a long time. But what's 102 years compared to eternity? Not very long, is it? Not very long. And so we need to understand that we have a limited opportunity. When God hires us into His vineyard, we have a window. We have a window of opportunity when we can work and how long we can work. The thing that we all have in common, we don't know when our labor will end. We don't know. And so we must labor until that happens. The also went out to hire labor. Christians must work it out. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor is not in vain. You know what? You have to work out for yourself how you're going to labor in the Lord's vineyard. Every one of us in this audience have responsibilities who are members of this congregation. And all of us have individual talents. And we all don't have the same talent. And we all don't have the same ability. And we all don't have the same opportunity. But whatever talent I have, whatever opportunity I have, and whatever time I have to use it in a way that glorifies, exalts, and honors God in everything I do. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. And we have to work it out. I can't work it out in your life, and you can't work it out in my life. We each have to work it out for ourselves. But we all have something in common. We need to work it out. We need to find out. I tell people sometimes what we need to do. We need to find out where we fit, what the niche that we have, and we need to find out what that is, and we need to fill it, and we need to do it to the best of our ability. That's why we were brought into this vineyard. Another thing I would like you to consider is the household went out to hire the laborers into his vineyard. It does make a difference where the work's done. There are many, many people, people that I know, people that you know. There are people who are good people, honorable people, good moral people, good neighbors, good friends, good family. They are good, honest people, but they're working in the wrong vineyard. Now, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. But it must be done in the right vineyard. It's not, if you work for God, but you're not in his vineyard, it's not going to be productive. It's not going to help you in it. That's just like the illustration I just gave. If you went and did all that work in another man's vineyard, but he hired you to work in his vineyard, he's not going to repay you by giving you benefits because you did the work in somebody else's vineyard. The same is true spiritually. We must look for the one to whom we work for pay. And you know what this is? This is that we must know that we're in the Lord's vineyard. In Colossians 3, verse 17, the Bible says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God through the Father. Notice, we have to be in the Lord's vineyard. If you've been watching the television program the last few weeks, I have been talking about the authority of Christ. I have been trying to get the listening audience and the viewing audience to understand it matters what we do in religion. It matters how we do what we do. It matters how we come into a capacity like this and how we worship God. Ladies and gentlemen, it matters how you do that. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It matters how you do it. When we partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, it matters how you do that. Your mind must be centered and focused upon the death of Christ upon the cross. You can't be thinking about dinner. You can't be thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon or what you're going to do tomorrow at work. For a few moments, you have to discern the Lord's body and you have to think about what you're doing when you take of that Lord's Supper. It matters, ladies and gentlemen, it matters. Brethren, if it doesn't matter in religion, why do we have the Bible? Why do we have this standard if it doesn't matter what we do, how we do it, when we do it? It does matter. If you want to get the benefit of working in his vineyard, you must first make sure you are in his vineyard. The Bible says that there is one body. Ephesians 4, verse 4. Jesus the promise to build his church, Matthew 16:18. He did not build the 1,500 and counting that exists today in our country. He did not build all those religions. Those are not all his vineyards. Now, The religious word will tell you that we're all in his vineyard, but a close study of the Bible will prove that's not so. You can't be in his vineyard if you're working in another vineyard. It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know. Now, listen, I know that that's not popular. But I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today to open your Bible. Look and examine what you believe, what you practice. Can you find what you believe and what you practice in the Bible? Can you? Maybe you're not a member of the Lord's church, and you're a member of another church. Look in the Bible and see if you can find the name of where you worship and labor. See if you can find that in the Bible. Just look, just examine and see if it's in there. And the things that you do religiously, see if you can go to the Bible and you can see that it's there. See if you can do what this verse says. You know what it means in the name of the Lord? It means by His authority. It means with His approval. If you can't find it in there, then it's not His work. And if it's not His work, it's not in His vineyard. And it won't be profitable. So we have to make sure we're in His vineyard. The laborers went at the first opportunity. This gets back to what I said in the beginning. Men went to work in the vineyard at different hours of the day. They did not turn down the invitation when it was given to them. Remember when he went out in the first hour of the day? Those that heard it in the first hour of the day, they went. The one that heard it in the third, they went. Sixth, the ninth, and then in the 11th hour. They listened and they went when they had the opportunity. That's what this is really teaching. It's not encouraging to wait till the 11th hour. It's encouraging that when you know that you need to do something, that you do it right away. All are encouraged to obey the Master's call at the very first opportunity. Some will refuse to come to Jesus, and they will wait eternally too long. They will wait too long in order to come to His vineyard. Let me tell you a story. I was in Las Vegas a number of years ago preaching, and I got a call about 11 o'clock. It was from a friend of mine who lived across town. And he had been studying with a man for a couple of months about his soul salvation. They'd been studying the Bible. And so he said that he wants to be baptized, and he needs to be baptized this very night. And so he asked me to come up to the hospital in order to help him baptize this fella at 11 o'clock at night. So I jumped in my car to go up there. While I'm going up there, I'm thinking, well, why would he need me? So I get up there, and this man's on oxygen. He has congestive heart failure. He can barely take one breath after another. And he's a very large man. He weighed about 400 pounds. And I walked in there, and he said, Keith, I want you to come down here. They got a very large whirlpool down here, and I want to baptize him, but I'm going to need help. Yeah, I don't know if me and you are going to be enough, but we'll see what we can do. He had to sign every waiver imaginable in order for the hospital to agree to let us to do that. And it took way up until about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, till he got all those waivers signed. And then we took him down there. He was on the oxygen the whole way we got down there. And then we got in there, and we'd already figured out how we were going to do it to the best of our ability to make it as quick as possible, and that we didn't hurt him or didn't hurt ourselves. And so, believe it or not, we figured it out, and we baptized him and got him back on oxygen, got him back into bed at 2:30 in the morning, and he died at 6 a.m. the next day. Now, did he wait till the 11th hour? Yep. Now, would I encourage you to do that? Absolutely not. Because you might not live through the 11th hour. That's not what this passage is encouraging us. What it's encouraging us is that when you understand that you need to obey God, and you need to be in His vineyard, and you need to be doing His work, you need to do it as soon as you understand that. Now ask me why. Because here's why. The more you hear it, the easier it is to reject it. The more you hear it, it becomes commonplace. It becomes something that doesn't move you. Something that, you know, it's easy to procrastinate. It's easy to put off. And we'll just wait till a more convenient time. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Isn't that what Felix said in Acts chapter 25? when Paul was preaching to him, he was being arrested and he was preaching to Felix, and he said, "Go thy way, for when it is a more convenient season, I will call upon you." It says he reasoned of righteousness and judgment to come, and he waited for a more convenient season. Did that season ever come for Felix? We don't read about it in Scripture. A few years back in the Philippines. In the Philippines, there was a young woman who was married to a young gospel preacher. And we were going to make a trip in August. I think this was in July. And she wanted to wait to obey the gospel to what one of our American preachers got over there. And she was going to wait until we were going there to have seminars and Bible lectures where her husband preached. And she wanted to wait until we got there in order to obey the gospel. She was killed on a motorcycle a week before we got there. Now, you know what? I let God take care of things like that. But you know what? That can happen to anybody. That can happen to anyone. We're not guaranteed of another hour, another day. And again, here's another place where people think you are scaring them. I'm not scaring you. Let me ask yourself this question. Just ask yourself this question this morning. If the Lord would come this day, if your life would end this day, where will you spend eternity? 2 people know the answer to that. God of heaven knows, and every individual in this audience knows for yourself. You know. And so we need to make sure. We need to make sure. There's been a debate for many, many years. Exactly when are you ready? What's the magical age that you need to obey the gospel? Well, you know, I've heard people get up in this pulpit and I've heard them give a scenario of what they believe the age is. But all that's an assumption. But let me give you an easy Bible answer. Do you know the difference between right and wrong? Do you know what's right and do you know what's wrong? Do you know that you have sin in your life? Do you know that that sin separates you from God? Do you realize that you are an accountable person when you understand the difference between right and wrong and know what's wrong? And James 4:17 says, him that knoweth the good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And then do you know why Jesus died on the cross? Do you know that he died in order to relieve your burden of sin? Do you really realize that he died in order that you might be saved from your sin and that can be washed away by the blood of Christ, and that by arising out of the waters of baptism, there's nothing mystical about the water. It contacts the blood of Christ and it puts you into Christ and it makes you one of his children and gives you an opportunity to be heir according to his promises. Do you know all that and do you understand all that? Now, there's a grave misconception that in order for a person to obey the gospel, we got to know everything about the Bible. If we do, we're in trouble. To be a Christian, you need to know 2 things. You're accountable and you're lost, and the God of heaven is the only one that can deal with it. He's the only one that can fix it. So it's up to each individual to take account in their own life. And so there are 4 great lessons in this lesson. The householder went out to hire laborers. The householder went out to hire laborers. The householder went out to hire laborers into his vineyard. And the laborers went at the first opportunity. Now, the only question that needs to be asked, won't you volunteer to labor in the vineyard of Christ? Please take your song books and turn to the song that's been selected. I want to leave you with a passage of Scripture that has to do with this subject. It's in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. And it was our Lord that made this statement. He said in verse number 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary, scattered, like sheep not having a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers to the harvest.'" Jesus needs workers. He needs workers in his vineyard to give out his business. If you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus is inviting you to be part of his vineyard. If you are one of his children and you have not been actively fulfilling your duty as a laborer in his vineyard, you need to change that. And you need to make that right. If you need to pray for the church on your behalf, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you that God will forgive you. If it's something between you and God, you take care of it between you and God. But take care of it. Understand, as we close this lesson this morning, we're going to work somewhere. And we're going to give an account someday. Don't you want to be in the right vineyard? And don't you want to have the right reward? We're giving you an opportunity to introduce you to the gospel as together we stand.